I wanted to do something a little different on Diwali Day than just recite the pastime. I thought I'd like to read something that, and do a little sharing with you also, read something that was one of 4 days at our strategic planning meeting for the GBC, and I want to share some of that with you. But remember when I came here after the GBC meeting, before Gaur Purnima and after the GBC meeting, I read. So we did the same thing again, for those of you that weren't here. Well, I give the header. The header is "Meant to Fight." This is Srila Prabhupada speaking about the spirit of declaring war on Maya for a preacher. Get you all fired up on Diwali Day. I'll do a little refresh. Go back. You can go back a long time. But I'll do two things. In the year, from 1975, prior to 1975, Prabhupada wrote Directions of Management, declaring that he intended, during his lifetime, to endure after his departure, to establish a succession of leadership of his society in the form of the GBC. That was 1971. In 74, he reaffirmed that. In 75, it was the first GBC meeting. Prabhupada showed by his example, he taught by his example, so he showed by his example, the GBC members discussed, and by parliamentary procedure, they took a vote, and Prabhupada raised his hand as one vote amongst everybody else and voted in favor of certain resolutions, and they were entered into a minutes book, and Prabhupada's signature is there in the minutes book, establishing the GBC. In 1975, 76, then there was a special meeting. In addition to the just around Gaur Purnima time meeting, there was another one in May of 1977 when Prabhupada felt that he was going to leave and he wanted the GBC from all over the world to come to Vrindavan where he was and decide certain things. Of course, he was going to decide those things, but he did it in that manner, through the GBC. One of the things that he did, relevant to all of you here in India, all of the temples, all of the real estate, all of the asset in ISKCON India is under one entity. Did you know that? ISKCON India. And there's like, instead of a board of directors, there's a bureau. ISKCON Bureau is the legal group of people that can control legally all the assets of whole of ISKCON India. And Prabhupada spoke, a resolution was passed, which Prabhupada personally saw. He was lying on his bed, so he didn't sign that one. But it said, the number of bureau members should be increased. The GBC should get together and decide who the bureau members should be. Significant, because here's this legal control, but who populates that legal control body is the GBC for all of India. Going into the future, Prabhupada envisioned a very expansive Hare Krishna movement all over the world, and certainly that has happened here in India, among other places. So the role of the GBC was established. Then there was a practice. There was an annual meeting of the GBC in Mayapur. It's been held since 75. Within the rules of order, I'm giving you some information about how this GBC works, because you're part of ISKCON and I'm a GBC member, and sometimes people don't know exactly what those GBC guys do anyways. We're working very hard to serve you. That's where I'm headed with this discussion. The rules of order of the GBC Society, which was formed in 93, says the same thing that Prabhupada said. Annual meeting, and there can be special meetings. They were going on like that. Very rarely were there special meetings. Some crisis, emergency, you know, the bridge is caving in, or the roof is falling, or something, you know, something calamitous. And then some of the very senior most GBC members departed this world. They left their bodies. Tamal Krishnamarj in an automobile accident. Bhakti Tirtha Swami through cancer. Sridhar Swami through another, a liver disease. And other devotees were in very critical health, such critical health they were unable to come to GBC meetings. So the chairman of the GBC Executive Committee started asking himself, how long are the rest of us going to be around the table? Is there something we should be doing now to ensure the longevity and well-being for when you guys and gals take the responsibility of sitting at that table and leading our whole society? Should we be doing something now? So he called a special meeting for that. And it was at a very nice place in Villa Vrindavan in Italy. It was as nice as it sounds. Very nice place. And we went for 3 days through a procedure of looking at, aside from what each GBC member does for their zone, are there duties that we have for the world, each GBC member? And we went around the room, around the table. And the message was painfully unclear, other than we knew that we should be doing something, but what that something was painfully unclear. It was a very sad ending of the day. We really didn't have a clear idea. So the next day was a brainstorming session. You know, get the big sheets of paper out and, okay, what are some of the things? And we just made our lists. You know how you do brainstorming. And then after like 18 pages of brainstorming, okay, I got enough good ideas here. Now let's see if they fall into general categories. And we spent time doing that. And we came up with 7 different categories. And then we populated from our GBC membership those 7 different categories of things. Those 7 different categories of things included increasing the preaching. Obvious. Succession of leaders. Obvious. Create a constitution. And that's like, as they say, duh. Very obvious. Prabhupada said to do it so many years ago, and we don't have a constitution. Did you know that? We have an organization that doesn't have a constitution. So a constitution committee was formed. Um, parallel lines of authority committee. Very strong committee. During Prabhupada's time, there was one person who was both the managerial head and the spiritual head. Like the Supreme Court. He was like, you're the king. If anything, any question about anything, the final word was with Prabhupada. And after Prabhupada's departure, many persons became spiritual authorities in the role of initiating spiritual masters. Many. And then over here is the governance line of authority that Srila Prabhupada established. With himself, the entire GBC body, GBC zonal secretary, temple presidents, department heads, and so on. Down. That governance structure with ultimate management authority, in Prabhupada's own words, and the initiating gurus with their spiritual authority over their disciples. So now how does that work? And if it's not clear, then you can have problems. And you know how this world goes. If you can't have problems, you'll have problems. Even if it looks like you can't have problems, you have problems. So that was another nice committee. And other things were created out of that initial meeting in Italy. And then so we decided at the main annual meeting in Mayapur, we would set aside 3 days planning our future. Then we gave it a conventional name, a strategic planning. Some of you that work in the corporate realm, you know what that term means. Strategic planning. Spiritual strategic planning. So they call it SSPT. Spiritual strategic planning team. And from that work, not only GBC members, but some non-GBC members were invited to participate. And things started expanding. Like, for example, with the increasing the preaching, the thought was, what happens when we increase the preaching? We'll have more people to take care of. Shouldn't we have a plan to take care of the people first? So that committee kind of dissolved and morphed into a devotee care committee. Those of you that know Revati Raman, he's the chairperson of that committee. And they're devotees from all over the world. It's the largest and one of the most productive committees. And they bi-weekly, they have conference calls, they have a website, they have a publication. They're doing things. They go out and give specific seminars in different areas of the world, and they're covering the world with this well-thought-out message of devotee care. Not that devotees weren't cared for before, but bringing that message forward very strongly. And so the Increase the Preaching group got another membership together, and they started working on, well, book distribution, but that's kind of a BBT. So what they came up with this very nice idea that we meet so many people in so many ways, including book distribution. Where's the follow-up? All those millions and millions and millions and millions of books. What about the people that have those books now? What are we doing for those people that have the books? I'm sure you've all thought of this before. So now there's a committee that's working on that. Systems and mentorship and training and how to do it if people want to do it. Helping the world of ISKCON become stronger and better. The theme is these two things. More devotees, happier devotees. That's the theme. Some other group of devotees thought, Prabhupada spoke about cultural conquest. You've heard that phrase before. So now there's a cultural expansion committee. And they have a name, they have a logo, they have a website, and they have people from all over the world that are interested in various forms of cultural presentation, not just Bharatanatyam dance, but various forms of cultural presentation, drama, music, architecture, cultural presentation of Krishna consciousness, and activities and training sessions, and they have a fantastic idea to invite when the leadership group comes to Mayapur, this coming Mayapur session, to offer everything that they have to anybody that wants it. Take home, here's our drama scripts, here's how you start with a group of people and make a drama, you know, the drama production thing, and how to have festivals, and, you know, practical activity training for our leaders of our worldwide society, etc. Rural Development Committee, certainly something that Srila Prabhupada expressed as very important. There's a whole committee from all over the world. The devotees are coming together now twice a year, meeting face to face, plus what they do the rest of the year, and growing this, nurturing this wisdom, collective wisdom. Something more than one person can do. Something, I had a little realization that has helped me from even before I started living in a temple. Very simple realization. What can one person do? Something, but very little. Well, what can one person do combined with many other persons do? Something very substantial. And that's why Prabhupada created temples, to bring many persons together to do things together, more than what one person can do things, no doubt about it. Very important, each one person doing something, very important. But collectively, one person's like the Aesop's fables of a bundle of sticks. You know that story. Unity in diversity is a phrase that Prabhupada used as what ISKCON is. So, over a period of years, now it's 2011, so we've been at this since this is the sixth year, beginning of the sixth year, 5 years have passed. And the numbers of persons participating in this effort twice a year started to grow. It went from like zero to like 20, and then it became like 40, and then it was 75, and then it was 150. At their own expense, pulling money out of their pocket to come together for a number of days and focus on how to make our society better, assisting the GBC in accomplishing this. I'm sharing this with you because I just, instead of spending a good part of the month of Kartik in Vrindavan like I should have been, I was serving all of you in Bombay along with all of our GBC members and maybe 75 other people who are not GBC members for a number of days. At least the strategic planning portion went on for a minimum of 4 days. A number of the people met before. So more than 4 days. I was there for 20 days doing other things to serve all of you. But an idea came from the previous GBC meeting out of the Strategic Planning Committee, we've gotten some momentum here. And some really good stuff is coming out. Good stuff that now it's in a refined enough shape to present to all the leaders of the world. So, discussions with the Mayapur management. Can you host all the temple presidents of the world and other leaders, sannyasis, and other capable people that are actually doing leadership work to come to Mayapur and spend 8 days? I think it's 8 days. The event is called ISKCON Leadership Sangha. And somebody's got a fascination with acronyms, so it's called ILS. So, I don't know if you've been invited. You've been invited. So you can select some other people like these two gentlemen up front, whoever, and participate. So at our meeting that just was held in Bombay, each of these groups, there is something like 20 groups now, committees. Some of them are likely to become what's called a standing committee, like a permanent committee. I'm going to be part of one of those. It's called Organization Development Committee. What we did was we sat back and looked out into the future in another 100, 150 years, however many temples we have now in the world, multiply that by 3 or 4 in the world. What kind of structure do we need to handle proper overseeing of the spiritual standards and the well-being of the devotees and all of that? What do we, the global GBC folks, have to be thinking about for a structure? So that was exciting and challenging and something I'd never even thought about before. But we should be thinking about. So a committee was formed called Organization Development Committee. And those of you that are, I'm learning these things just because it's service to Prabhupada. It's a systems kind of a thing. Just like Gauranga. Many of you know Gauranga from Chalpati. He is helping us GBC members to learn systems. So I'll give an example. We have, over the years since 1975, when the GBC first started meeting, we have this body of very thick, very carefully thought out, we should do these things to make our society better. We would come together, pour our collective intelligence to come up with carefully thought out, carefully worded things, and then go back and get busy and forget it. So there's lots of stuff that's on the shelf that's just not been put into action. We don't even know what they are, what to speak of all of you. We have to go looking, I remember that one. So then that's one. A body of resolutions that really are good, we should be doing them. Another is all this work that's coming out of these committees to build our better future, how to make sure it gets into the world of action, not just nice ideas that go drifting into the air. How to make sure it goes into the world of action. And then a third is Srila Prabhupada's instructions, vast instructions on what the GBC should be paying attention to. So this Organization Development Committee has come up with, I'm now going to unveil, just like, you know, your design for this new structure over here. You had somebody make a three-dimensional model and it sat in the back of the temple so people would say, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. And you had a ceremony, we took the cloth off, and there it is, da-da, right? So this is what I'm doing right now. Ta-da! There's a structure that's going to be, that's being put in place called executive strategies. And it does those three things that I just, it's going to help us do those three things that I just described. To do what we should be doing. Make sure that you've heard this word accountability before. If you're down here, you hear about it. But if you're up here, you generally don't hear about it. But this is the GBC putting the feet of the GBC to the coals, making sure that the GBC are accountable. Novel idea. And that is to do things that are the good ideas that we spent time to vote on and decide and now make sure that someone's going to make sure that the GBC members do it. And if they don't do it, they're going to remind them. And if they don't do it again, they're going to remind them again. If they don't do it again, they're going to say, are you sure you want to be a GBC member? Because you're not doing this. And it may, you know, it's accountability. Yay, accountability. People love accountability, especially when the people upstairs are accountable, right? We're making a system where the GBC is becoming accountable. GBC is creating it. So there's an executive director, and then there's divisional directors. Gurunga. Is that Gurunga? Am I right? Yes? Gurunga. He's in charge of two of them. The systems division and systems and structures. And then there's another one. Krishna, my mind is going blank. He's so good. He's helping the devotee care group get, you know, a nice system for doing what they're doing. There's a GBC communications officer. Part of what I'm doing right now is that I'm letting you know how the GBC is trying to serve all of you. Our thought is, here's scenario A and B. Scenario A, 50 years from now, somebody that's doing the leadership of the whole society looks at some of the work that we're doing now and says, boy, I'm really glad they did this. Scenario B is, why didn't they do this? So one of the divisions is compliance. Of all the centers that we have all around the world, who owns the properties? GBC doesn't know. Maybe it's perfectly fine. Maybe it's not. We don't know. What's the bylaws of those corporations that hold the properties? We don't know. We should know. Who holds the trademarks and copyrights? You know, right here in India, that's got a question mark over it. Really important stuff. While we're busy preaching and distributing books and building temples, you know, what's on the deed of the property? What's the corporate structure that secures that? And so forth. So that's another little division over here, compliance. Things that are going to help, because part of a GBC's duty is protection. Protection of the devotees and protection of the property. So we're putting systems in place, and GBC members are going to be told, or, you know, politely, but please make sure in your temples, in your zone, this and this and this. When can you have your report ready? I understand you're really busy. When can you have your report ready? Okay, I'll get back to you by that time and make sure you have your report ready. You know, somebody pulling the chain of the GBC member to make sure that there's compliance for protection of the assets that for generations and, you know, at least for decades, devotees have worked very hard to put together. Are they secure? Education is another big area. Educating, you know, has many levels. Adult education and children education and everything in between. So what are the systems? What are the procedures? What are the standards? Is it anybody, is it a free-for-all, or is there some way of taking what's over here and what's over here and making sure it's really strong and covers all bases and so on? It's a lot of work. And we don't want to get lost, lose the spirit of preaching in while we're looking after so many things. But so many things need to be looked after, including devotee care, looking after all of you and looking after the people that we don't know yet, who are out there, who have a book, and so forth. It's ecstatic, but it's taxing at the same time. It's not spending the month of Kartik in Vrindavan going on prakrama every day. It's a different kind of service. But it's a very important service. So that's just a little bit of sharing with you of how, as GBC members, we're trying to serve our society. I remember as a young brahmachari going to the Mayapur festival, which Prabhupada wanted us to do every year. At the end of the day, some of the GBC members and many of the devotees would go to the Ganga for taking a bath in the Ganga. And I remember very clearly sitting on the side of the Ganga, hearing Satsrup Maharaj or hearing Hridayananda Maharaj sharing with us what happened at the GBC meeting. And I felt connected to the GBC because they took the time. They were busy, just as I'm busy. But I'm taking the time to share with you. These are some of the contemplations those who are trying to serve Prabhupada and serve you in the role of GBC members are considering. More devotees and happier devotees. And various ways of looking towards that objective. And this ISKCON Leadership Sangha, ILS, taking place in Mayapur is one of them. We're expecting, in addition to our GBC membership and the staff that helps support our efforts, so that's like 60-something devotees, including the staff, another 300-plus will come to Mayapur. And during Prabhupada's time, as kind of a check on the GBC, there was a temple president's meeting. Maybe you've heard about this or read about this or something. Temple presidents from around the world had an opportunity before GBC resolutions were passed. They could look at them, or finally passed. We, you know, the GBC members went through whatever they went through to reach some resolutions. They are handed over to the temple presidents. You please look at them. Let us know if you have a problem with any wording or anything in any of it. And if they did, it went back to the GBC to take a look. This is what the presidents felt. And a president representative spoke. Here's how the presidents felt about this particular language or this particular something. So there was some dialogue like that. So this is that over a period of time, that faded for a number of reasons. The international devotees were not coming, so it ended up being, you know, the presidents from the India temples assembling together. So it just didn't have that broad scope. So what happened instead was presidents assisted the GBC during the meetings itself. A group were called deputies. Have you heard that before? Deputies. Just processing the legislation, the resolutions, so that the GBC could think, on longer-term issues or philosophical issues, and the deputies would process all of that legislation, present their processed material to the GBC for discussion and vote. So now this ISKCON Leadership Sangha is going a step further back to something like the model when Prabhupada was present, where the temple presidents from all over the world are being invited to come. And it's not just meetings and resolutions. There'll be a whole section on just having kirtan with the devotees. I don't know what those all of those activities are. I've heard some of it, but it's going to be spiritual, inspirational, as well as educational, so that the presidents know what we're doing, give us feedback so we can do it better. Like the constitution will be presented, not in its final form, but in its current form, for the presidents to get to hear what the thought process has been and have some time, over a period of time, to give their feedback on the wording of the constitution for ISKCON. Or the devotee care committee, how to do the devotee care more effectively. Here's what the ideas that our committee has. What are your thoughts? How can we do it better? How can we be more relatable to all of the various places all around the world? Nice. So that's the information part. Now comes the nectar part. When we have our meetings, one of the nicest part of the meetings is at the very beginning of each day, after the full morning program, the devotees have breakfast together, and then we come to this, it's like this, it's, you know, it doesn't have the pillars, but the Sangskara Hall in Bombay. Big hall, huge hall, Bombay size, huge hall. And there's kirtan and art, Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. There's a full murti of Srila Prabhupada there in the room, presiding over our meeting. And we wait till everybody is completely silent. Everyone's seated, no side conversation, no shuffling of papers, because we're going to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee, Lakshmi Moni Mataji, has taken on the service and does an excellent job of putting together from different places, from Prabhupada's writings or lectures or whatever, inspirational words. So, and she gave a heading to it. It reads like it's a lecture perhaps, or Prabhupada's writing something to somebody. It's stitched together from different places in that way, very expertly by her. So, pretend you're a GBC member. Pretend that you're thinking that you will be a GBC member, that you're going to have the responsibility, individually or collectively, to take care of the whole world of ISKCON. All the devotees, all the assets, all the preaching, all the deity worship, you're going to have that responsibility. And Prabhupada is speaking to you to help you be guided properly and inspired how to do that service. That's the mood. And here's the message. For a preacher, he has to do something against all odds. That is preaching. You cannot expect favorable position. You cannot expect favorable situation. It is not possible. When I came to America, I never expected any favorable situation. I wrote that poetry in disappointment, that who will accept this? That is the position. By Krishna's grace, gradually it will become a favorable situation. But don't expect any favorable situation. You have to handle unfavorable situation and make favorable situation to preach. That is preaching. So Nityananda Prabhu, he went to preach to Jagai Madhai. There was no favorable situation. They were drunkards. They caused injury on the body of Nityananda Prabhu. So this is preaching with only unfavorable situation. You cannot expect favorable situation. And still you have to preach. That is preaching. They will speak like madmen. So many things. They are mad, after all. Nunam pramata kurutevi karma. They have no sense. All materialistic persons are madmen. Still, by the order of Superior Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to do this preaching work. Actually, the American boys are fighting against so many unfavorable situations. They are sometimes beaten in the airport. You know that? Still, they are preaching. That is preaching. That is preaching. Quote, the unfavorable situation. So, let me give it up. That is not preaching. Yes, we must know that there is unfavorable situation. Still, I have to. That depends on your brain, how to tackle. You cannot expect favorable situation. By the way, that's from Tehran. Prabhupada's speaking to the devotees who are living and preaching in Tehran. Always be assured that you are being protected by Krishna, and that if you simply carry out my instructions, against all odds, you will certainly come out successful in the end. At the present moment, there is great opposition to the Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another because of their devilish brains. They will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditional life of material existence. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Krishna consciousness movement. As public officers, they declare without hesitation that the chanting of the Hare Krishna movement is a nuisance. Although Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata. According to this verse, it is the duty of the Mahatmas to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, society is such an uncivilized state, in such an uncivilized state, that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay Center Hare Krishna Land, as Kamsa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudev. The uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Kamsa would immediately come and kill his son Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are non-different, and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world. Some of the men in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's civil disobedience movement were agitated because they could not control their minds. But the Lord was thoroughly peaceful, sober, and unagitated. Therefore, when the Qazi came down to see him, the Lord offered him proper respect and a seat because he was a respectable government officer. Thus, the Lord taught us by his personal behavior in pushing on our Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness, we might have to face difficult days, but we should always follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and do the needful according to the time and circumstances. We are working on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. That should be our philosophy. Don't be disappointed that the whole day you work, you got no collection, and nobody was interested in Krishna consciousness. No. Don't be disappointed. You have worked sincerely the whole day. That is your credit. That's all. That's your credit. Krishna will see. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna wants to see that how much you are spending your valuable life and energy for Krishna. That's all. Don't be disappointed that many men are not coming here or we are poorly pushing on. Never mind. Whatever Krishna has given us, chance, let us utilize it. Now, here is a chance Krishna has given us. It is very difficult to bring one to the Brahminical culture, to the Kshatriya culture, to the Vaishya culture, because everything is finished, and it'll be finished more and more. Therefore, the only saving platform is Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. Then everyone will be saved. Therefore, we are pushing on this movement. Chant Hare Krishna mantra anywhere. And it has become practical. Even in Africa, in the village, where they have got so big, big earrings. And they're also chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They're also chanting. Therefore, the African government is a little afraid of this movement. So there is nowhere, we don't find any difficulty. Either you go in the interior of Africa or Europe, America, we have gone into. We are sending our buses and devotees with books in the village, in the interior village, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted it. Pritaviti achayati yat nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. We are trying our bit. Send devotees. And they are helping. These European American boys, they are helping me very much. Even the girls, they are also helping. So it is a very good opportunity. So push this movement. And we are trying our best. Arjuna is addressed as Mahabahu, the great fighter. Great fighter can understand. Who is great fighter? Who is acting under Krishna? He is great fighter. Just like Arjuna is fighting. So when you take shelter of Krishna and fight with these material opposing elements, these preachers, they are also Mahabahu. They are fighting with persons who are not Krishna conscious. They're pushing on Krishna consciousness movement by fighting by this. But this fighting is different, is in different way. This was taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam. Sangopangastra Astra means weapons. Just like these Pakistanis are fighting with machine gun. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fought with Maya, not with machine gun, but with his most confidential associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda. His fighting weapons were Sri Advaita Prabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda, and many other devotees. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is also fighting, but it is a fight in a different way. So the soldiers, Nityananda Prabhu, soldier, was sent to deliver Jagai Madhai. This is also fighting. Therefore, all the devotees, all the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, they are Mahabahu, strongly armed by the weapons of Krishna. They cannot be defeated. They will push on the fight with Maya, this illusion. What is that illusion? The living entity, under illusion, is thinking that he will be happy by material comforts. That is not possible. So this movement, Krishna consciousness movement, is a declaration of war with Maya, declaration of war, but in a different way, by this chanting process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The transcendental vibration will clarify the whole atmosphere. And as soon as these Krishna conscious soldiers come out victorious, the whole world will be peaceful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So that was one of our morning sound vibration inspirations. And if circumstance permits, I'll read some of the other ones while I'm here. Maybe in conjunction with something, we'll see what works out. So as I said at the beginning, a little different than a Bhagavad Gita class or Srimad Bhagavatam class or something like that. Nice Diwali class. But as a member of the GBC and having just taken part in all of this, and as I shared with you, having the experience of having GBC members sit with us in the bank of the Ganga and share what the deliberations of the GBC were for that day, I felt close to the work of the GBC was doing, not just somewhere off there, a group of people doing something I don't know anything about. A lot of hard work from a lot of persons are going into helping to build a very strong society that can weather the storm. One of the things that our communications officer presented is that in the year 2016, so we're just 5 years away, 2015 and 16 makes the, what you call here in India, the Golden Jubilee, the 50th year anniversary of ISKCON. So we're putting in place some plans for big celebration and many different ways, internationally, continentally, media, festivals. And part of this work that the strategic planning is doing is putting in place some of the components that will help us last another 50 years for the, whatever you call that, the 100th celebration. Most likely, except the little children here, not too many of us are going to be around for that 100th anniversary. At least the GBC members for sure aren't. And So it's a very important, the 50th anniversary of ISKCON is very important. So that's part of what will be discussed further in these meetings in Mayapur. What's the global picture? One of the phrases that Prabhupada used was, think globally, act locally. You've heard that one before? So we're trying to help the devotees, worldwide leadership, think globally. Act locally, but think globally, because we're part of a global society. We're part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What's relevant here and there and another place may be different, how it's done, but sharing best practices and vision and effective ways of bringing Krishna consciousness, it's inspirational and very practical, both. So, I'll end there and see if you'd like to discuss anything that I presented or I didn't present. Any thoughts or comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. One phrase which I always it comes, sometimes I think about it is, I don't know even if Srila Prabhupada's statement, the problem which ISKCON will face is from within, not from outside. Is it, I do not know whether it's a Prabhupada statement or if it is, then what does it mean? And how, what we can do about it?
Could you do the first part again?
This phrase which I like, which I heard that, you know, there will be problems. Nobody can harm ISKCON from outside. Only the from inside we can do something.
Yes.
So what does it mean? And what should we do right now to? Since we are part of ISKCON.
It was a statement saying that. Like I read here, maybe that's why you're asking the question. Kamsa tried to kill Krishna, but Kamsa can't kill Krishna. So something, similarly, something from outside ISKCON can't destroy ISKCON. Doesn't mean, oh, we just go, oh, okay, nothing can happen, so we just saunter along the path. Right now, here's a little news item to share with you that the Russian government has commissioned a group of people to study Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita to determine whether or not it's a dangerous literature. And so far, they're headed in that direction. So, behind the government, of course, is there's this inside picture that when the communist government collapsed, the KGB people, KGB, you know, the hitmen, the heavy-duty guys, the security police, took shelter of the Russian Orthodox Church. They became priests. So those people are the people that's behind the government doing this investigation. Of course, the government doesn't mind to do an investigation in the Hare Krishna movement because it's very popular and it's not under the control of the government like the Russian Orthodox Church is. So, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is on trial right now. And it's serious business. While that's going on, there's a place where the... Just bring it up. Just bring it up. Just you're small. You won't be noticed. Thanks. when the temple in Moscow, which was in an area where the government wanted to build large residential complex, they told them, you have to leave. And it was like a whole scenario where the Prime Minister of India and different people went to the, insisted that they give them another place that was a reasonable place. So after about 3 years of that ordeal, they were given another place. So there's a brahmachari ashram where until that place is built, they were able to stay. So now it's the month of October, end of the month of October. It's already snowing in Moscow. And suddenly, around the same time, parallel, coincidentally, with this investigation in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, the brahmacharis, some 50, 60 brahmacharis living in a building where they were before, were told, by midnight tonight, you got to get out. We're going to bulldoze the building down. So they got a stay order in court. But it's tense. It's serious business. And this isn't just Kazakhstan. This is Moscow. And you know who is behind it? Mr. Putin and his team and the Russian Orthodox Church and the devotees, you know, so it's, they're being, it's a serious threat. So they have their teams of devotees that are working on different efforts, scholars, government officers from around the world, convincing the Russian government, working on convincing the Russian government, this is not a dangerous organization, because if the book goes, then, you know, the devotees, they're following the book. No more books. Ban the book and ban the people that are following the book, because they're dangerous. They're following this dangerous book. You know, it's dominoes. It's very dangerous. The threat is very severe. Now, what Prabhupada is saying is, that can't, Kamsa can't kill Krishna. That's the first part. But if there is some real dirt, it's from within. Either infidelity to the teachings, someone philosophically hijacking the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and parking it some place that isn't really what Krishna consciousness is. I mean, I'll just bluntly say it. That's the Bangalore issue. But, you know, the philosophical is one part, but then with the philosophical goes the asset. Prabhupada was very keen to not see that happen. So a very costly and tough battle is taking. So the danger is from within. Someone becoming out of control and not accountable over a period of time, either gradually or abruptly. Or, you know, are not living up to the teachings that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So people becoming discouraged, etc. We can be deviated from within, but we can't be destroyed from without. So that's where we're vigilant in both areas, but that's where there's greater vulnerability. That's the meaning. Okay. Okay, in 2004 Vrindavan Yatra, I said, if you want to sustain in Krishna consciousness, you need to very seriously associate with devotees for advancement. And as Lord Chaitanya's desire for the movement to spread to every town and village, how can a single devotee, couple, family, sustained in their own Krishna consciousness without regular association of Vaishnavas in a village, with the plan and a piece of land and a cow or varnashram. Well, the answer is they have to create the devotees. They have to create the devotee sangha. That's the formula that Prabhupada used in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement. There weren't the devotees that had sent here and there and elsewhere. They had very little depth of training, but they had their faith in Prabhupada, and with that faith in Prabhupada, they carried that in their heart into unknown territory and created association. Not everyone can do that, but a faithful person can do that. The capacity is there. Within the instruction is the capacity to carry out the instruction. So if that's an instruction that you've been given, carry it out. And otherwise, while you have this opportunity, take strength from the association that's available for you. Something else? Okay. Just a comment is, when I'm visiting a place the first time, the first evening, it's real quiet like this, not too many questions, and then more questions and more questions. You just have a question session at the end. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.